challenge to each of us to consider which road are we on? Which path are we taking? Now, the ministry of Camp Joy has been on some interesting paths, interesting roads over the last 50 years. And I praise the Lord for the privilege of being a part of a ministry that I do believe is separated and trying to maintain a position of being on that narrow, sometimes difficult road that we find ourselves on in life. If you have your Bibles, open them to the book of 1 Chronicles. I won't be long tonight, but I thought we would close with just a simple challenge, one of not only challenge, but one of blessing. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, we see the psalmist David, a man who God described as a man after his own heart. He loved the Lord. He had a heart for God. He was on the narrow road. He wasn't always popular. As a matter of fact, when he faced Goliath, we find his brothers and all those around him thought, oh no, what's David up to this time? But we know that David's heart and attention was fixed on the Lord. We saw God use him in great ways. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, we see David bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to the land that God had given them. And David was excited. Have you ever been excited about something? You ever looked forward to something with great enthusiasm, with zeal? I remember in life, there's different times that you anticipate something real special. What happens when that special something you're looking forward to falls apart? Proverbs says that when the heart deferred, or something that you're looking forward to is held away, the heart is grieved. And hope deferred literally makes the heart sick, Proverbs says. And when we are looking forward to certain realities coming to pass and it's withheld from us, it can really be an awful feeling. Well, here we see David getting ready to bring the Ark of God back to be in the city of Jerusalem, the city of David. And David is excited about this reality. And as they're traveling with the Ark of God, you may remember the story. The Ark is on a cart, and the oxen stumble, and God's man, one of David's friends, co-laborers, fellow companions, reaches up to stabilize the ark. And you see that in verse 10 of chapter 13. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah because he disobeyed God and he touched the ark of God. He tried to do a good thing. He was on the Lord's side, right? He was with the people of God. But he disobeyed the Lord and he touched the Ark of God and God slew him. When this happened, when this event happened in David's life, it was a sobering moment in the life of David. I mean, his heart, a matter of fact, look at verse 12. And David was afraid of God that day. I mean, here is his Lord. That as you look into the Psalms and you reflect on the man David, one of the things I realize is I think about this man David. I think of a man after God's own heart. And what is it that characterizes him? He praised God. He had a heart that praised the Lord. You think of the Psalms over and over and over again, praising God for the great things he had done. David's heart was one that loved the Lord. He wanted to offer praise to the Lord. He wanted to bring the Ark of God back to the city of David. For what reason? To build a temple for it. I mean, he really wanted to protect it and put it in its high place because God had a high place in David's esteem. But when David saw this transpire, his heart was disappointed. His heart was sickened. And it says that David was afraid of God that day. As a matter of fact, goes on to say that for 3 months the ark sits there. But then as you move ahead to chapter 16 of this book, we see five things that David does as the Ark of the Covenant comes to the city of David, comes to Jerusalem. There's five things that David reflects on. You know, we have faced challenges in ministry at Camp Joy. In the ministry, your ministry has faced I know I've been associated with Market Manor since I was a boy. I love this church and what it stood for historically and what it continues to stand for, but you face trial. You faced maybe even the hand of God at work in our midst. And some are fallen. David saw his good friend Uzzah struck down, put to death. In his zeal to stabilize the ark of God, he was struck down. And it grieved David's heart. And I know in the ministry of Camp Joy, we have faced challenges. Seems as if at times, I took over the directorship there at Camp Joy, I don't even keep track of time very well. It's been between 5 and 7 years. I think it's maybe it's 6. Would that be shoot in the middle, you know? But since I took over the camp, there's been some real challenges. That first year, we faced this accident that has resulted, as many of you know, in a lawsuit. That's a sobering situation. A little over a year ago, I wrote the biggest check I hope I ever have to write, $1 million check. That's a sobering situation. I believe right at that same time, 5 years ago, about a year after I took over the camp, my wife came home to tell me, "Hey, honey, I got to talk to you." I was busy working on one of the driftwood cabins. My sons and I were nailing the walls together, and we were excited. You know, work, get it done. Get the walls up for this cabin before the sun sets. And it was after supper. My wife had gone to the doctor that day for what we thought was just a little thing. And she came back. She says, "I got to talk to you." We kept working. You know how that goes. She says, "Honey, I really need to talk to you before I go home." "Okay, honey, I'll be right there." Keep working. One of those bad things that sometimes we neglect our wives and we should set things aside and answer her call. And the third time I realized she really wants to talk to me before she goes home. Oh, I got it. I walked over to see, "Okay, honey, what do you want?" She says, "The doctor said I have cancer. We have to be at the hospital tomorrow morning at 5. It's probably 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, "You're kidding. You must be joking." She wasn't joking. And these serious reminders are times that we reflect on, number one, the fact that God's in control. God is in control. And though we find ourselves on that straight and narrow road, it doesn't mean it's not without difficulty, hardship. And the Lord was very good to my wife, and she is fine, and the Lord was gracious. But she has a close friend that we were at church with that the Lord took her life, Mrs. Kukta, just months ago, probably 8 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago. They journeyed that road together, so to speak, that cancer road. That's a sobering reality, and you can question God in life, but there's no question. David got the victory. They saw the Ark of God brought to the city of God. And David said these five things in verse 8 of chapter 16. He said, first of all, give thanks. Do you find yourself maybe facing difficult situations in life? Maybe difficult situations within your church here. Maybe difficult situations within the ministry of Camp Joy. Oh, I've thought many times, there's a lot better way we could get to the mark we're trying. You know, we're trying to travel down this journey. We're trying to do the work of God. Seems like there's a lot better roads to get there than the road that we find ourselves going down many times. Why spend God's resources this way? Why devote so much attention to this in our lives? Why give ourselves to this path so unappreciated? You know, we have no appreciation for traveling down this road, this difficulty in our life. This set of circumstances, David found himself in that same situation. But yet, he was able to praise God. Psalm 146, 145 and 146 are psalms of praise that David wrote to God. In Psalm 146, he says, "Praise ye the Lord as long as I have breath." David said, "As long as..." Doesn't matter if the road is easy. Doesn't matter if the road is the direction I want to go. As long as I have breath, I'm going to praise the Lord. Is that the testimony we can identify with David on tonight? He says here, "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people." You know, God has worked in our midst in the ministry of Camp Joy. We have seen souls saved this summer. To God be the glory. We have seen lives change through the ministry of Camp Joy countless times. Does not mean that the path is going to be necessarily the direction we want to go all the time. The easy way, the way of a little conflict, the way of peace, the way of ease. But it is the way the Lord chooses for us sometimes. The difficult path, the narrow road, the unwelcomed report. And God chooses to take us down this path. Why? Because He has a plan in it for us. He wants us to be drawn to Him. Boy, I have noticed something very sobering. When my wife told me she had cancer, that was really serious to me. It wasn't a big deal to her, really, compared to me. The Lord's touched the lives of my children. That becomes really serious to us as adults. When we're physically touched, it's not such a big deal. You know, it doesn't seem so bad. Matter of fact, many times we wish it was me and not them in a family situation. But when God touches your children or your wife or your family, as I'm sure many of you know, it's a serious thing. It gets our attention. A friend like David. David saw his friend struck down. It was a very serious thing in David's life. But as God delivered and as God worked out His will and His way and His time, David reflected on the fact that he gave thanks unto the Lord. He brought the ark into the city of David. He said, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds unto His people." You know, the Lord has met the needs of my family. Not always the way I want Him to. Not always with the answers that we want. I mean, the Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So there's really nothing that can remove us from the presence of the Lord as a Christian. The Lord so chooses to take us home to glory. We can rejoice in that reality. Praise the Lord. That was David's psalm. "Praise ye the Lord. As long as I have breath, I will praise the Lord. I'll sing praises unto my God while I have any being." I trust that we can, as David, give thanks unto the Lord. Proclaim His deeds among the people. The Lord has met a lot of the financial needs for the ministry of Camp Joy. $1 million in overwhelming debt, especially in this economy. Camp attendance has not gone up in the last five. Since I took over camp, it's not been like, "Whew, man, we got a whole bunch of people on our bandwagon now. We're just packed out and overflowing." No, we're not. Camp Joy is identified by certain things. I've had pastors say, "Boy, you should change some things, and Camp Joy shouldn't hold to the things that they've held to traditionally with regard to dress and music." But we are. We're going to continue to. Praise God for that. But it's not popular. There are good pastor friends of mine that don't hold to those convictions, and they don't want their people exposed to an environment like that. That surprises me. That surprises me anymore. But that's the reality that we face. Praise the Lord that He can still provide. Praise the Lord He can still deliver. He is providing for the financial needs of the ministry. You know, within less than a year of signing a check for $1 million, and the camp had to come up with $750,000 of that. And we didn't have any money in the bank. Nothing to draw on. Nobody, no individual, and no knight in shining armor came riding over the hill and wrote out a check, a big check for Camp Joy. But praise God, in a little less than a year later, like within a week, we were under $100,000 in debt. That's a miracle. We need to proclaim the righteousness and the goodness of God to the people of God. Hey, God still can do the impossible. That is impossible. You know, Fred Mortz made the comment, you know, it took Baptist World Mission over 5 years, I think it was maybe 10 years, to raise $500,000 for a need that they had. Baptist World Missions is a very important and very well-connected ministry in our circles. And he was just astounded that the Lord had provided over $500,000 for Camp Joy in less than a year. That is a miracle. And you know, that was the faithful giving of hundreds of God's people. The average gift was $1,000 or less to meet that need. We only had one big gift of $50,000, and a big chunk of that was scholarships. So I say all that to say this: we need to proclaim the deeds of God to God's people. God's doing the impossible. We need to not be swayed by the world around us. We don't need to be distracted. We aren't in a popularity contest. Hey, our mission statement is our Bible, our camp verse. It's my life verse, 2 Peter 3:18. Hey, that's our mission statement, that people would come to that ministry and they would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come to Camp Joy because you can grow. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to introduce you to Him. We want you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior at Camp Joy. If you know Him, we want you to grow in that faith. But then the verse ends this way: but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Okay, we aren't going to encourage, you know, it's not get people saved through some method that's not going to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Bringing a drum set up here and bringing in the wrong kind of music in the wrong crowd, you might pack this place out, but that doesn't bring glory to God. You know, He has a method. He has things that please Him that are explained in His Word. God is holy. He is a holy God. He wants us to live holy lives, separate unto Him. Hey, we want a ministry that brings, above all things, to Him be glory. To God be the glory. Would He be glorified in our ministry? That is the desire of Camp Joy. That is the desire of our ministry. Above everything else, that God would be glorified. We say this verse at our lunch meal, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Hey, if eating and drinking to God's glory is important, you think dressing is important to Him? I mean, He had a lot to say about dress in Scripture. Matter of fact, it starts right off in Genesis, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve clothed themselves and then God reclothed them. Why? Because dress is important to God. Is music important to God? Boy, our music and our worship is very important to God. A matter of fact, if you look at this verse, this chapter, chapter 16, verse 34, it says this: Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy. Oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong verse there. My bad. Okay? I'm looking for my verse. They used it for valor. It's right here. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation, declaring His glory among the heathen, for His marvelous works among the nation. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. We should worship the Lord. Here it is, verse 29. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Hey, is our music important to God? You bet it is. It is important to God. We should worship in the beauty of holiness. And we can, second thing he says here in verse 9, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Second thing David said, first thing is give thanks, second thing is sing unto the Lord. How? In the beauty of holiness. Let our music glorify God in the way that we present it unto Him. We're worshiping Him. Hey, we're not trying to attract the world to God through our music. That's not the purpose of our music. Our music is to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a God who is holy and just, to be feared above all nations. Then he says, Glory ye in his holy name, verse 10. Give thanks unto him, sing unto him, and then glory in him. You ever meditated on the reality of glorying in the Lord? Having your glory, a picture of majesty, your glory in the Lord. Verse 11, he said, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. How are we going to go about seeking the Lord in our lives? Hey, right here is a good place to start. The Word of God. That's why God and I time is an important part of the Camp Joy schedule. It's right there at the beginning of the day. God and I time. That's why every day I strive to start my day reading God's Word. We really emphasize that in the ministry of Camp Joy. We've got to seek the Lord. And then, in closing, verse 12, he says, remember his marvelous works. Five things David said as they brought the Ark of the Covenant in. Five things: give thanks, sing unto the Lord, glory in him, seek the Lord, and then remember his marvelous works. Hey, we have so much to praise God about. Oh, it's not always... I never... Many times in the last 5 years, I thought, what am I going to turn around and face next? I'm fine with it. My kids were diagnosed with diabetes. First, it was like, wow, what is all this about? Then I learned, then I really wondered what this was all about. But we can praise God in this place. We can glorify God in this responsibility. We can remember that despite the situations, what does it say? His marvelous works. These are marvelous in our eyes. The challenges of life that we would look at first as a distraction or a heartache or a burden, you know what we've come to find out, my wife and I, in these journeys? Hey, these are marvelous works of God in our life. Why? Because they press us to the Lord. They cause us to do what? To draw nigh to our Savior. Hey, we pray real seriously when it's the health of our children. Last week week before, I was in a church with my wife and children came with me. Was it last week? No, it was week before last. Thursday night we were at a church representing the ministry of Camp Joy. And my wife and my two diabetic children came along. My daughter went from 536 to 57 in 1 hour. Know anything about it, it's not good. My son hits 300 and he throws up for hours. He's sick physically. And they're my littlest two kids. You know, you kind of are tender towards your children. Something about a father, tender towards his children. We don't want to see them go through that. But you know what the reality of what that's done? It's drawn us to the Lord. We have to pray. We have to seek the Lord. Hey, my wife had to leave the service. She had to take care of my daughter. And it was a process that you have to go through to take care of those kind of things that happen like that. There's a number of things she had to do to get her straightened out. I'll tell you one of the things she did. She prayed. Because it's scary. If they're going from 536 to 56, if they hit 20, they're dead. Okay? They're going to die. Probably. Good chance. So, I mean, it's doesn't happen often, but when it happens, you pray. Okay, you pray. Hey, that is a good thing in our life. I need that. I need that. My wife needs that. You know what her besetting sin is? Fear. If she was standing here tonight, I'd ask my wife, honey, what is the greatest thing you struggle with in life? Fear. Fear. That's why she doesn't do good about going to her cancer follow-up things. Probably Melissa would know all about that. Because she's afraid. You know what God is doing in that? Hey, you know what he's doing? Remember his marvelous works. That's a marvelous work in our family. These realities in our lives, they are marvelous. Why? Because God makes no mistakes. $1 million lawsuit? Is that a problem? Well, you know, I had a lot of people tell me over that 5-year journey, we were never going to see that survived. Camp Joy is not going to come up. You know, we owe less than 60,000. We're praying that by Wednesday of next week, that we're celebrating Wednesday, I'm praying that that need is totally met. So you come, we're going to take up an offering Wednesday afternoon. $60,000, brother. That's what we're praying for. Or more. It's fine. We got a lot to do. You know, God's good. You know, my daughter's fine, and I trust my daughter's fine tonight. But she's fine. By the time we left that church that night, we left about 12:45 that night. She was fine. She was fine. God's good. You know, my wife's got a clean bill of health. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I have breath, I will praise the Lord. I'll sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Can we say that together as believers? Trusting the God who created and made all things. Oh, I know your church has been through some difficulties, some trials. Maybe you as an individual, you face some trials. Don't forsake the narrow way. Don't forsake the straight and narrow, the difficult path. Let us encourage one another together to remember, in closing, the fifth thing, remember the marvelous works that God has done. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads in a closing word of prayer.